Today's daf is Kaf Dalet. We're going to start from Kaf Gimel Amud Bet, toward the bottom, but not yet close to the bottom. I'm going to go back a little bit and just repeat the very end of yesterday, which was, it's about 15 lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Elazar, Begimel Mekamot Hufia Ruach HaKodesh, that there were three places where the Ruach HaKodesh came down. One is Bebeit Dino Shel Shem, Bebeit Dino Shel Shmuel HaRamati, Bebeit Dino Shel Shlomo. So we said, what are the three cases? Notice, by the way, okay, we're going to see a theme throughout today and toward the end of the Masechet. Notice all these places that the Ruach HaKodesh came were where? In a Beit Din, okay? Okay, notice they all came down to a Beit Din, okay? If you're thinking that we're ending all, you know, Nezikin and then Sanhedrin, which was really all about the courts, and we talked about this. Some people said that Makot was really part of Masechet Sanhedrin and then was later split off. So this is really the ending of all the court-imposed punishments that started in Sanhedrin and finished up in Makot. And right, even Galut is a court-imposed. Right, we talked about Elohim HaGolim from the second parak, which was also the court decides whether you go to Ir Miklat or not. So interestingly enough, we're talking about the Ruach HaKodesh coming to the Batei Din. And this is why, I don't know if you noticed this yesterday, we kind of finished with this at the end, but the Beit Dino Shel Shem, right? What's the Beit Dino Shel Shem, right? We always talk about in the Midrash, they talk about there was this Beit Dino Shem Ve'ever, and right, Yaakov.
Beit Midrash.
Right, Beit Midrash, which here they call it a Beit Din. It's like a Beit Midrash, a Beit Din, okay? Right, so why? Notice it says, what happened in the Beit Dino Shel Shem? Who was it with? It was with Yehuda. It wasn't with Shem. So it's a little strange why they say the Beit Dino Shel Shem. So I assume they had this concept that there was this Beit Dino or Beit Midrash of Shem, and they wanted to connect it to some sort of court. So they called it the Beit Dino Shel Shem, which really just means those who came from Shem, right? It was the Tzatzaim of the descendants of Shem, which ended up being Yehuda, right? Which is going to be very different from the Shlomo and the Shmuel that are directly, right, their Beit Din. This one is a little strange. Okay, so what was the first one? The Beit Din of Shel Shem, Dichtiv, Vayakir Yehuda, Vayomer Tzadka Mimeni. Right, Menayada, how did he know that she was right, that it was really his child? There's no way to ever really know. Maybe it was some other guy she slept with. Yatzabat Kov Amrami Meni Yatzu Kvushim. Right, so the Bakos came down and said, it's from you. So in each of these cases, we're going to take a word in the Pasuk and say that that word was spoken by God, or Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, so when he said, Tzadka Mimeni, the Mimeni was really coming from God. Bebeit Dino Shel Shmuel, Dichtiv, Hinenu Anu Bi Neged Hashem V'Neged Meshicho, Et Shor Milakachti, V'Yomru, Lo Ashaktanu V'Lo Ritzotenu. If you remember when the people want a king, and Shmuel has this long speech that he says to them, why do you need a king? And he says, what did I ever do to you? Okay, that's what we just saw here, right? And you went against me and Meshicho, and Et Shor Milakachti, I didn't take anything, right? And they said, you're right, you didn't. Vayomer eid Hashem ve'eid Meshicho. Okay, God should be the aid and the Meshicho. I assume that Shaul should be also the aid. Ki lo mitzatem v'yadim u'ma. Okay, here's your, right? They should stand as witnesses that I didn't take anything from you. Now what's strange in the Pasuk? It says, Vayomer eid. Now it should have been by Yomru Eid that the people answered, yes, they will be Eidim. But Vayomru Mebaile, it should have said Vayomru. So what do we learn from here? Yatza bat kol v'amra ani eid b'davar zeh. Okay, so basically that was God saying, yes, I'm an aid. Okay? So again, it was another place where Ruach HaKodesh came down. Bebeit Dino Shel Shlomo, Dichtiv, Vayan Hamelech Vayomer Tznu La Tayelet Hachai. Right, where the famous story with Shlomo HaMelech, everybody knows about the babies. And he says, give it to this woman, she is the mother. Minayada, how did he know she was the mother? Dilmi Yarume Ma'arma. Maybe she was tricking him also. Yatzabat Kol V'amra, hi imo. Okay, so again, the hi imo, those words were spoken by God. Or bat kol. By the way, this whole thing is interesting in terms of if we go back to, you know, Loba Shamayim, and we don't listen to a bat kol, right? What does this mean that they were told by a bat kol and you're not supposed to listen to a bat kol? But the assumption is that they knew the answer. What really is going on here is not right. It was affirming their decision, which again, we'll talk about this when we get to the very end, but I think what's going on here is the whole interplay, I'll tell you before so that when you read the sugyot, you'll see it through that eye, the interplay between God and man in terms of developing halakha, right? And determining piskei din. And right, that here we're saying man decides and God confirms. And that's the idea.
Which is also interesting because in the Tanya Shachinai, when the bat kol comes,
it wasn't affirming.
They ignore it, right? Because it didn't agree with
it. In that case,
it
wasn't. Exactly. In that case, it wasn't supported.
We'll take it when we want and we won't take it when we don't.
No, well, again, it's exactly that. If it confirms what the Beit Din says, then great. It's confirming or affirming. But when it goes against what the Beit Din says, then we can't follow the bat kol. You can't follow a bat kol that tells you to go against, and that was the whole chidush of Tanur Rosh Halachnai. That even though, right, the rabbis viewed things in a particular way, and even though the bat kol said it wasn't that way, they weren't allowed to go against what they believed, right, what they saw as truth.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay. So now, I'm a Rava. So Rava questions this whole thing. What do you mean this was God speaking and this, right? Without God having spoken, they wouldn't have known for sure they were right, right? That's the assumption in all these cases. We needed God to kind of affirm things. Mimai, Dilma Yehuda, kevan dechashiv yarchev yome, v'itrame. Since maybe Yehuda did the calculation. He saw she was pregnant. He started calculating. He figured out it exactly went back to the date that he slept with her. De chazinan machaskinan, de lo chazinan lo machaskinan. You can create a chazaka based on something you see, and he calculated, and he figured out, and created a chazaka on it. Something you can see, so you can't, but this was something he could figure out. Shmuel nami, kulu Yisrael, kari lehu b'lashon yachidi, dechtiv Yisrael no shaba Hashem. It is classic in grammar, if you talk about a group of people, right, and it's called by one name, you speak in the singular. So they're saying, don't look at Vayomer as an odd use of the word in the pasuk, even though it's the people speaking. Vayomer could be everybody, you know, in singular form, just like Yisrael no shah b'Hashem. It's not Yisrael no shu b'Hashem. They weren't saved by Hashem. They were saved in singular. Shlomo nami, midaha kamarachmata, v'ha lo kamarachmata. Elagmara. So what do they say? It was that, oh, sorry, Elagmara is the answer. So Shlomo figured it out because she had Rachmanut for the baby and the other one didn't have Rachmanut for the baby. And the way we always learned the story was not that God confirmed which was the right woman. It was that he figured it out himself. Okay? And therefore, all these cases, he figured it out himself. And therefore, your theory that this was God coming to affirm things isn't accurate because I could knock down each one of them. So the Gemara says, Ela Gemara. No, it's a Masoret that we have. In other words, it wasn't that they figured out that this pasuk doesn't work and therefore it must be, or Shlomo couldn't have figured out, or Yehuda couldn't have calculated and therefore it must be. No, we have a Masoret that these were cases where a bat kol actually came down. And therefore, you can't, it's not logical what we're talking about here, it's a Masoret. And which is another theme that we could talk about, which is that sometimes Masorot are what determines things and not necessarily always using logic. Darash Rabbi Simlai, 613 mitzvot ne'emru lo l'moshe. 365 lavim, kiminyan yemot hachama. U'matayim v'arba'im v'shmona ase, keneged evarav shel adam. This is very famous. There's 365 mitzvot lo tase, like the solar calendar. U'matayim v'shmona, keneged the evarim in a person's body. Amarav hamnuna, okay, and that adds up to 613. Amarav Hamnuna Maikra, where do we find a pasuk to support this? Torah Tzivalan Moshe Morasha. Torah B'Gematria Sheet Mea V'Chadzre. Have. Okay, so Torah in Gematria is 611. That leaves over two. Anochi V'lo Yelecha Mipiat Vurash Ma'anum. So the assumption is Torah Tzivalan Moshe. What did Moshe teach us? He taught us 611. The other two were taught directly from God, and that's based on the assumption that the first two Dibrot were spoken by God, then the people were scared, they didn't want to hear directly from God, and then Moshe intervened, and then he gave the rest of the Torah to the people. So the assumption is there's 613 mitzvot, and it's darshened out from this Torah Tzivalanu Moshe. Ba David v'hemidan al-chatesre. Okay, so now we have an interesting thing we're going to see. that while we have 613 mitzvot, we're now going to say that the real Ikar mitzvot, we can whittle it down to a very small number. We're going to start with 11. We're going to eventually get down to 1. And I want you to pay careful attention to which mitzvot are the main mitzvot according to these people. Okay, so David, and why David? Because we're going to quote something from Sefer Tehillim. David said, really, it's all about these main 11 ones. Dichtiv, Mizmor le David, Hashem mi agor ba'olecha, mi ishkom bahar kodshecha, which is basically saying, who's going to get olam haba, right? Who's going to live in your tent? Who's going to live in your har kodesh, your mountain, your holy mountain? Okay, number one, holech tamim. Number two, poel tzedek. Dover emet bilvavo is number three. Lo ragala lishono. We're going to get into all these cases in a minute. That's number four. Lo asal re'eyu ra'a, number five. Becharpa lo nasal krovo. Six, nivze be'enav nim'as is number seven. Et yirei Hashem yichabed, number eight. Nishba laharav alo yamir, number nine. Kaspo lo natam b'neshech, number 10. And number 11, shochad al naki lo lakach. Okay, this is a pasuk from Tehillim. Anyone who does these won't be white, won't be destroyed forever. Okay? Which obviously means an olam haba, because everybody dies. So now we're going to give, not exactly what it is, although with the examples the Gemara is going to give, we're going to understand what each one is. Holech tamim ze Avraham. Dechtiv hitalech lefanai veheye tamim. Okay, that means to walk in the way of God. Or I don't know, how did they translate tamim?
Perfect. Walk in front of God and be perfect.
That's a tough one to exactly define what exactly that means. Poel tzedek. Okay, here they're darshaning dafka, but he's a poel who has tzedek. Kigon abechilkiyahu. What was Abachilkiyahu known for? That whenever he worked, he would never stop to say hello to anybody because he felt like he was working on someone else's tab, right? So he was getting paid to work. He wasn't allowed to stop and say hello to anybody. That's a poel tzedek. Dover emet bilvavo, kigon Rav Safra. Okay, what was Rav Safra? The famous story about him is that he was davening Shema and somebody tried to sell him something and he ignored him. And as he ignored him, the price kept going down. And then when he finally finished davening, he said, I'll give you the higher price that you asked for. I had this situation happen to me in the Far East where it was Shavuot and we were walking in a park and this woman starts saying, you want a boat ride? And she said, for this amount of money? And then we said, no, thank you. And then she kept going down and down and down and down and down. And I realized, wow, you could really bargain. I knew you could bargain with these people, but she went very, very low until we finally explained to her, no, there was no way we were going in a boat. But so that would have been a good way. I could go there the next day and tell her, I'll give you the high price. And then I would have been like Rav Safra. Lo ragal al lishono. Okay, that's the ragel is like to say lashon hara, to speak badly, to use words in a bad way. So here they're going to use it more for trickery. Ze Yaakov Avinu dichtiv ulayim musheni avi vayita beinav kemitatea. Right, he didn't really want to steal the bechorah, even though he does steal the bracha, even though he really does in the end. But he didn't really want to do it. He was scared to speak non-truth. Lo asa l're'eyu ra'a, didn't do anything bad to his friend, shelo yarad l'omanut chavero. Okay, he didn't take over his, meaning you didn't open up a pizza store next to the friend's pizza store. Okay, and cause, right, or a chumas store across the street. That was the example we gave last time. V'cherpa lo nasal krovo, ze ha-mekarevet krovav. Okay, this is a weird one. What does it mean to be mekarev et krovav? The Rivan says, lo saval cherpat krovo. Okay, he doesn't... some people say it means he sticks close to his relatives even if they embarrass him. I always think about, kids are always embarrassed by their mothers or her fathers for that matter. So maybe it's that. Some people say it's that they stand up for someone who embarrasses their relatives, okay, which makes a little more sense. Okay, nivzebe enav nim'as. Someone who's, now as opposed to taking care of your krovim, this is someone who has a karov who's a really bad guy, which is Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Zeh Chizkiyahu HaMelech shegirer atzmot aviv b'mitah shel chavalim. He disgraced his father. His father, Achaz, was a really bad king. And nivzeh be'enav nim'as means someone who's despicable will be, you should despise him. Okay, so basically it means that even though he was his father here, he dragged him in a very embarrassing way because he was someone who was a despicable person. Ve'et yirei Hashem yichabed, Hey, should honor those who are fearful of God. Ze Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda, shebishaa shayaru et hamik chacham haya omei mikisao mechabko minashko v'korelo Rabbi Rabbi Mari Mori Mori or Avi Avi Rabbi Rabbi Mari Mari. So here is Yehoshaphat, who was known about him that he was that even though he was a king, and in theory a king is the highest level of respect, he still showed respect to talmidei chachamim. Nishba lahara velo yamir. Okay, this is again a bit of a weird one. He says, I'm going to fast until I get home, which really was a way, according to Mefarshim, of him saying, I'm not going to eat at the Beit HaNasi. He didn't want to eat there. I'm not exactly sure why he didn't want to eat there. But he didn't want to eat in the house of the Nasi. So he said, I'm going to be fasting until I get to my house. So what does this mean? He was... In the end, what he really meant was that I'm not going to eat in the Nasi's house. He just said it in this kind of a way. And in theory, he really could have justified eating once he left the house and on the way home. But instead, right, Nishba lahara, he did a shvuah that was hard for him because he had to wait all the way till he got home to be able to eat. And yet, lo yamir, and yet he didn't, he did wait till he got home, even though he could have really canceled it out at that point and eaten. Lo natam b'neshech, this is a very interesting one, afilu biribit ove kochavim, right? Even ribit to non-Jews, which even in some places they say it's a mitzvah to take ribit from non-Jews, and yet in this case we're saying it's a higher level to not actually take ribit from non-Jews. If you recall, we learned in Sanhedrin that how do you know when someone's chozer b'tshuva, in one of the cases that we can accept him to be an aid, and we said the melave biribit, we can only accept him his tshuva, once he's not only does he not lend to Jews biribit with interest, but also doesn't lend to non-Jews. And the Rambam quotes this in his Hilchot Tshuva, about a way to do tshuva, that you have to leave, and the Rav Soloveitchik talks about this a lot in Ala Tshuva, about the process of tshuva, that you have to go so far is that not even go anywhere near what you did before, even in a way that's mutar.
It's also interesting how much trouble usury has gotten Jews into over
yes,
history.
Yes, yes, and it's interesting that it says here exactly, and that maybe also it was saying this isn't a good thing for the people as a whole. Okay, but this is an interesting one because this is actually mutar according to halacha, and the only case where it says you shouldn't is if you're going to do tshuva, and here this isn't relating to that, so it's a very strange one. B'shochad al naki lo lakach, and it's maybe Shari's understanding is a very good understanding that it eventually causes problems to Jews, and maybe that's why. B'shochad al naki lo lakach, kigom Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi. Okay, he wouldn't judge his sharecropper. He was known for that. He wouldn't judge a sharecropper, and therefore, right, it would look like he was taking a bribe. Ktiv oseh ele lo yimot lo'olam. Okay, and then it said about these people, they will never be destroyed forever. Kishaya Rabban Gamliel magia lemikra zeh. Okay, so now we actually learned this whole sugya already. We'll repeat it. We learned it toward the end of Sanhedrin. So it said, for all these things you will never be destroyed. So when Rabban Gamliel got to this pasuk, haya boche. Okay, this is going to lead us, by the way, remember this, because it's going to lead us to another situation where Rabban Gamliel is boche, because if you're going to wonder why did that come up, I think it came up because of this. Amar manda aved lehu lekulhu hu delo yimot. Sounds like someone who does all these 11 things, he's the one who's not going to be destroyed. But ha chada minayu, but what if he only does one? Yimot, and therefore he was crying. Amrulo, miktiv oseh kol ele. It doesn't say he who does all of these things. Oseh elektiv. It says one who does these things. Afilu b'chade minayhu. Which means, as long as you do even one of these things, you will not be destroyed forever. Yilo temahachi, because if you don't say that, ktiv krachrina, al titamu b'chol ele. You can't become tamei to any all of these things. You're going to say you have to actually touch all those things to become tameh, but if you only touch one of them, you're not tameh. Of course we don't say that. So alalav, what does it mean? It means one of these things. So hachanami, likewise in our case, be'chat mikol elu. Okay, so again, let's look back at them and try to categorize. Right? We have a section, we have a whole bunch of things talking about tzedek and not taking shochah bribery. We have things relating to judges, which again makes sense in the context of ending Masechet Sanhedrin Makot. And also we have some things about relations, business relations with others, ribi, opening up a competition for someone. What else? Speaking badly about someone. Okay, all sorts of ben adam l'chavero. Notice this. Really no ben adam l'makom, except for maybe yirei Hashem yichabeh, but that's also really ben adam l'chavero and not really ben adam l'makom. So it's just interesting that that's the case, unless you say the holech tamim maybe is the one about God, and that kind of includes all of ben adam l'makom, right? If you're, like we all said, what do you mean? You should be perfect with God. Well, that means kind of everything about God is included in that one. So maybe you could say that. Okay. By Yeshayahu v'hemidan al shesh. So we start with 11. Now we're going to go down to 6. Yeshayahu said 6. Dichtiv. Holech tzidkot. Okay, that means tzedek, righteousness. Dover mesharim. Speaks truth. Mo'es bebetza mashakot. He despises those who take, how do you describe betza as opposed to bribes?
Extortionate profit.
Okay, extortion. No er kapav mitmoch b'shochad. He won't accept bribery. Otem ozno mishmo adamim. He closes his ears from hearing blood. We're going to talk about what that is in a minute. Votzem einav meraot b'ra'an. He covers his eyes from seeing evil. See how they define that one. That one is going to be defined in a way you would not have expected. Holech tzedakot ze Avraham Avinu. Dichtiv ki yedativ leman asher yitzaveh. Okay, this is et banav et beto acharav. Okay, this is what... I know that this is what you're going to command your children after. V'shamru derech Hashem lasot tzedaka u'mishpat. And leman avi Hashem al Avraham asher diber alav. Okay, that Avraham's going to command his children to do tzedaka u'mishpat, which again fits in with our theme of Sanhedrin, of tzedek u'mishpat. Okay, about the judges, the batei din, etc. Yeshayahu in general was all about tzedek, right? That was one of the big themes in Yeshayahu. Lost my place for a second. Okay. Bedover mesharim ze she'eino maknit pnei chavero b'rabim. This is someone who doesn't embarrass his friend in public. Mo'es bebetz ha'mashakot kigom Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Okay, what would he do? He would, to remember all these cases, right, Rashi, Shmuel ben Elisha, where's the Rivan? He doesn't say it. He was the one who took, someone tried to give him a gift. What was the case?
Wouldn't he set gifts to which he was entitled as a Kohen?
He was a Kohen, and he wouldn't take a truma from someone who was supposed to be judged, or he wouldn't judge someone who had given him truma. Okay? No er kapav mitmoch b'shochad kigom Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi, who wouldn't judge his sharecropper. Otemos no mishmo adamim. Delo shama, okay, he would close his ears from hearing blood. Delo shama b'ziluta detzorva merabana b'shatik. If he heard someone making fun of a Talmid Chacham, he wouldn't be silent. Okay? That's how they understand closing ears from hearing damim. Kigon Rabbi Lezer b'Rabbi Shimon. Okay, that he, so here, one second. What was the case here? Lezer b'Rabbi Shimon. That's the case. The Rivan says that he comes up in Baba Metzia, Socheret HaPoalim, that he was, one second. Shimon.
We saw this. He died and she put his body in the attic.
He was punished.
Once it started to, because once he hadn't defended somebody's honor.
Right. He said he wanted to. Right. That was that really strange story. He told his wife not to bury him, to leave him in the attic. And then his body didn't rot. And then somebody saw a worm coming out of his ear. She saw a worm coming out of his ear, and then she thought that it was starting to rot. And then her husband came to a dream, and it came to her in a dream and said, "Don't worry." And then he explained that that he was punished because one time he didn't speak against this Talmid Chacham. You know, someone said something bad about the Talmid Chacham, and he didn't say anything about it, and therefore that's why the worm was coming out. Okay.
Which is funny that you have to close your ear, but you're supposed to, but you've heard something, so then you respond. If you
it's interesting
ear,
that
you don't
ear.
Hear.
Right, yafeh. So it came out of his ear, in other words, because it was a punishment for what he had heard. Okay. Va'otzeh me'na mera'ot bira, kid Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Da'am Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, We've seen this before, actually. The women, while they're doing the laundry, it becomes somewhat of an unsanua activity. And because of that, right, this is someone who closes his eyes from seeing bad. It's not he's seeing something bad, it's that it will cause him to do bad. Okay. Uchtiv. Okay, and that pasuk says about this people who do this, he will abode high on above. Okay, which means again he will get olam haba. This is, by the way, again the theme of perkhelek. It's like that again. These are people who are going to get olam haba.
Can I just ask a quick question?
Yeah.
So the idea is sort of like crib notes. If you do these ethical things, you'll cover all the 613 mitzvot. Is that the idea?
So it's a good question what they're doing here exactly, because we know that this clearly doesn't encompass many of the 613 mitzvot. I pointed out in the first one that most, certainly Yeshayahu doesn't involve God in any of this really. And it's very interesting that these are all ben adam lechavero. They have a lot to do with tzedek and mishpat and doing things that are yashar, which is a very strong theme of the courthouse.
Which we've seen so consistently that people do the ben adam lemakom stuff and they're not so good about the ben adam lechavero. Yes. And Hashem doesn't want the first part without the second part.
Right, right.
And if you can be a good person, you're an awful lot of the way there.
Right, exactly. And it's interesting. And there's this debate because some people say, oh, look, I'm a good person. Why do I need to do the ben adam lemakom? That's not so important. It's much more important that I do the ben adam lechavero, and then they kind of ignore the ben adam lemakom. And then you have other people who take the ben adam lemakom so seriously and they totally ignore the ben adam lechavero, which unfortunately in many Orthodox circles can sometimes be the result of communities where, if you notice, there's even just like the Reform, for example, are very, very strong on social justice, in a way that the Orthodox have not succeeded in doing. And part of what's going on here is they're saying, go the other way. Don't forget the social justice and don't forget to be straight and honest, etc. Obviously, to only do that is also not valid. So you have to try to somehow excel at both, which I guess is, a challenge because you have to prioritize and you have to, there's only X amount of time or X amount of resources. But that's really the goal, to be able to excel in both. And I think also the Nevi'im were going, the people like the it was classic in the Nevi'im, Echtav Ashuv, right? I'll sin and I'll just go bring a korban. They were good with the Ben Adam Lamakom bringing korbanot, but they were, using it as a way to just kind of do what they wanted to do and then say, oh, well, I'll go appease God and all will be okay. So that's obviously also not the way to do it. I think that one of the reasons they're focusing on this is because the focus is the courts and the judgment. In other, it's not that the other things aren't important. It's that what's this Masechet dealing with? It's dealing with, number one, all sorts of, well, it is dealing with Avayro Ben Adam LeMakom, so I can't say just that. But, with all the, a lot of things you get killed for Ben Adam LeMakom and a lot of things you get malkot for Ben Adam LeMakom. But a lot of them are really not. They're Ben Adam LeChavero. And the whole institution of the court is it has to live by a just system. And that's the focus of what they're trying to get at here. And that's why maybe they're focusing on all these things that talk about social justice, even though the other things are obviously important, but that's not their focus right now. Okay, Bam Micha Vehemidam al Shalosh. So now we get down to three. We had 11, 6, now 3. Dichtiv, Higid lecha adam matov, this is a very famous pasuk, Uma Hashem Doresh Mimcha, Okay, this is all God wants from you, according to Micha. You have to do mishpat, you have to love chesed, and you have to be tsanua with Hashem. What do these three mean? Asot mishpat zehadin, okay, classic that it appears here, doing judgment. Avat chesed, zegmilu chesedim, okay, being good to others, doing all sorts of good deeds. Hatznei alechet zohot tsa'at hamet v'achnasat kala. Interesting. Atznei alechet they define not as being tsanua, but as helping bury the dead and being machnis the kala. V'halo dvarim kal v'chomer. Now they take this atznei alechet pasuk and they say, drasha, and they say it's a kal v'chomer. Uma dvarim she'en darkan lasotam b'tzina amra Torah v'atznei alechet. When hotzaat hamet, and achnasa kala, right? Achnasa kala, I assume the assumption is giving money to a kala, okay, and to go also be misameach the kala. Those are things that are done in public, right? You bury people in a very public space. You marry people in a public way. And yet it says Hatznea Lechet. So in other words, even in public things, you have to maintain a certain level of tzniut, right? Don't be doing things in a way that compromises your tzniut. So, which I assume means they're not talking about tzniut of clothing here. They're talking about tzniut of personality, right? Don't be show-offy. Do it in a way that's tzniua. So kal v'chomer, right? So al acha kama v'kama. Sorry. And all the more so things that are meant to be done bitzina, all the more so you should do them bitzina. Okay? Like tzedakah or things like that, right? You shouldn't go bragging about it. That's the assumption a lot of the mefarshim make here. Okay. Chazar Yeshayahu v'himidan al shtayim. Okay? Now, after Yeshayahu gave six, then he gives just two. Okay, we're getting narrower and narrower. Shenemar. This is classic Yeshayahu, right? Mishpat and staka. Ba'amos v'imidan alachat. Shenemar, ko'amar Hashem lebe Yisrael, dirshuni v'chiyu. Now we get back to God. Okay, you should seek God and you will live. Matkefla Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak, ema dirshuni v'chol ha-Torah kula. Maybe it means seek God in all the 613 mitzvot. It doesn't mean it's just one. Ella b'chavakuk b'midan alachat. Fine. So if we can't say it was Amos who did it, who said it about one, that it's one mitzvah, Chavakuk definitely did. Shneamar v'tzadik be'emunato yichye. And now we get to emuna. That's the right. So we get back to God eventually. The one thing to do is live be'emuna. Okay. Again, how you define that is a good question. What do they mean emuna? Emuna, by the way, can mean belief in God. Emuna could also mean with your strength. So maybe it's saying with his strength he should be chai, but probably here it means emuna and Hashem. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Arba'a gzerot gazar Moshe Rabbeinu al Yisrael. Bao arba'a nevi'im ubitlum. Interesting thing. Moshe gave four gzerot to the Jewish people. Four different nevi'im came and canceled each of these things. How so? Moshe amar v'yishkan Yisrael betach, badad en Yaakov. He said the Jewish people will live solidly, when they go in the way of Yaakov, ba'amos ubitla shenemar chadalna mi yakum Yaakov. Okay, I just want to look up the pasuk for a second. You have to read the end. Mi yakum Yaakov ki katonhu. Okay, which is it actually says in the beginning. But Omar Hashem Elokim chadalna, like stop this gzeirah of Moshe, because who can be like Yaakov? Because Yaakov is katan, it's because we're katanim. Like, there's so few people who could be like Yaakov. So don't expect us to be like Yaakov and not destroy us, but, you know, let us live.
Is that a reference to katanti?
That's interesting. Could be. It's interesting. Uktiv nicham Hashem alzot. And then the next pasuk is nicham Hashem alzot, right? Meaning Hashem, right, repealed this. Moshe amar uvagoyim ahem lo targia. You will not live peacefully among the goyim. Bar Yirmiyahu v'amar haloch lahargio Yisrael. Right, that you're going to be calmed. You know, you're going to live calmly. Moshe amar poker avon avot al banim. Okay, this goes back to what we talked about in Sanhedrin. That sons get punished for the sins of their fathers. Ba Yechezkel ubitzla. And what does Yechezkel say? Had nefesh achotet hitamut. Only someone who sins will die, and not someone who sins for the sin. No, not someone who will get punished for the sins of his fathers. Moshe Amar, fourth one, va'avaditem b'goyim. You're going to be lost to the nations, meaning wiped out. By Yeshayahu va'amar, v'ya b'yomahu yitaka b'shofar gadol. Right, and what does it say? Uvau ha'uvdim. Those who got lost are going to come. Eretz Mitzrayim. Right, v'nedachim ba'u avdim be'eretz ashur v'nedachim be'eretz Mitzrayim. Amar Rav. Mistafina mehaikra. Rav says, wow, what a terrible pasuk. Like, it's such a depressing pasuk. Vavatem begoyim. Right? I sit in fear when I hear that pasuk. Okay, by the way, this is the second reason why we're going to have the last sugin makot. The first was, we saw Rabban Gamliel who said, that pasuk makes me cry. And here we said, Rav says, this pasuk makes me very upset. Matkifla Rav Papa, dilma kaveda mitbakeshet. Maybe it's like a lost item that the owner hasn't given up on it. Okay, bring us back to Bava Mitzia, right? And lost items. So, Dichtiv Taiti Kiseo Ve Bikesh Avdecha. Okay, now his Eved is still looking for him. Okay, maybe that's the image. We're going to be lost by the Goyim, but God is going to be constantly looking for us. Which means eventually we'll come back. But then he says, Be'elem Yisefa Dekra. You can't say that, because what does it say? Va'achale Ota. Va'achla, is it Va'achla? Right, it's Avatem Goyim. Va'achla Etchem Eretz Oyvechem. they're going to eat them. So eat them means they're going to be eaten and destroyed. Marzutra says, no. Dilma kachilat kishuim v'diluim. Maybe it's like squash and gourd. Okay, now what's squash and gourd? There's a bunch of different interpretations. One is that people eat part of them, but what do they do with the rest? They plant it, which is a very nice image, right? In other words, you'll be wiped out in the goyim, but there'll be seeds planted for the future. Your children will come out of there. Some people say it's that you eat part, they're so large that you can't possibly destroy, you can't eat all of it at one shot, right? Think about those giant pumpkins, right? We never buy a whole pumpkin. And that they just can't be eaten all at one time, and that's the Jewish people. Yes, they'll wipe out some of you, but you're so large that they can't wipe out all of you. Ukvar haya Rabban Gamliel v'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'Rabbi Yoshua v'Rabbi Akiva malachim baderech v'shamu kol hamonasho romi miplata b'richuk meh be'esrim mil. Okay, what this plata is, there's many different interpretations. I'm not going to spend my time going there, but basically, wherever they were somewhere, and they could hear the sounds of the Romans coming from very far away. Okay, they could hear it very far. In other words, they knew that the end was, you know, things were bad. B'tchilu bochin, and they started to cry. Rabbi Akiva misachek, and Rabbi Akiva was laughing. Amrulo mipnei ma ta misachek, what are you laughing about? Amar lahem, this one might not be as famous. The next one you're going to see, another story, is the very famous one about the fox. But anyway, we're first at the first one. Amar lahem v'atem mipnei ma atem bochim, says, what are you crying for? Amrulo, they said, halalu kushim shemeshachavim la'atzavim u'mekatrim la'avadah kochavim, yoshvim betach v'ashket. These people who were bowing down to idols, they're living very calmly and peacefully. Ba'anu, Beit Adom Raglei Elokeinu, Sarof Ba'esh, and we, the house of God, right, we've gotten destroyed by the fire. This is right after the Chorban. V'lo nivken, we're not going to cry. Amar lahem, l'chach ani mitzachek, that's why I'm laughing. Umalo, v'rei ritzono, kachlo, se ritzono alacha kama v'kama. If they're living betach, and those are the people who don't do God's will, all the more so are things going to be good for us eventually. Okay, and what he's trying to say is, look into the future, right? This is just a phase, okay, which is going to be the same theme as the next one. Shuv pamachat hayolim liYerushalayim. Another time they were going up to Yerushalayim. Again, this is after the Churban. Kevan shigiu laharat sofim, kar'u bigdehem. Okay, they got up to Harat Sofim and they tore their clothes. Kevan shigiu lahar abayit, ra'u shu'al sheyatzami beit kodesh hakodeshim, kodesh hakodeshim. They saw a fox coming out of the kodesh hakodeshim. Hitzchilu heim bochin, v'Rabbi Akiva mitzachek. Amru lo, mipnei ma ata mitzachek. Amar lahem, mipnei ma atem bochim, right? They said, why are you laughing? He says, why are you crying? Amru lo, makom shekatuv bo, v'azara karev yumat. Achshav shualim achubo, the place that says that a stranger goes there, he gets killed, and now there's foxes running around there. V'lo nivke, amar lahem lechach ani mitzachek. Dichtiv va'id ali edim ne'amanim et Uriah kohen ve'et Zechariah ben Yevarachiyahu. Okay, comes Yeshua and he says, I'm going to, right, these people are going to testify, Uriah kohen Zechariah ben Yevarachiyahu. What do these two people have to do with each other? One was living in the first Beit HaMikdash, and Zechariah was living in the Shivat Zion, in the time of Shivat Zion. So, Ela, Tala, Kachuv, Nivuato, Shel Zechariah, Benivuato, Shel Uriah. So he says, what's the reason they're connected in this Pasuk? Why does it say, Va'idali, Edim, Ne'amanim, et Uriah, Kohen, V'Zechariah, Ben Yerachiyahu? It means that one Nivuah is dependent on the other. Okay, so what's the Nivuah of Uriah? Now, this is a little strange because we don't actually have a Nivuah of Uriah. Okay, so this should be stated for the record. The only thing we know about Uriah is there's a Pasuk in Yirmiyahu that talks about him that says, let me just see if I can find it. Okay, it's from Yirmiyahu. This is when they wanted to kill Yirmiyahu. That's not the pasuk, sorry. Where is it? No, it's not there. Okay. There's a pasuk about Uriah. I thought it was there. Okay, there's a pasuk he's mentioned in Sefer Yirmiyahu. I'll try to find it. Anyway, the assumption is that he said a nivuah that someone else said. That's what they're assuming here. Okay, that's what the drasha is based on. It doesn't say it directly. Let me just look for one second and see if I can find it. Okay, it's in Yirmiyahu Kafav, Pasuk Chet. Okay, here's the pasuk. Vayishmu kohanim v'nevi'im v'chol ha'am et Yirmiyahu medaberet ha'dvarim ha'ele b'dvar Hashem. No, that's also not it. Sorry. That's why. Okay. V'gam ish haya menabe b'shem Hashem, Uriyahu ben Shemayahu mikiryat Yarim, v'yenabe al ha'ir hazot v'al ha'aretz hazot kechol divrei Yirmiyahu. Okay, so it says he gave nivuot, meaning negative nivuot, because that was what Yirmiyahu was known for, just like Yirmiyahu. But we're not going to say he said what Yirmiyahu said. We're going to say he said something that Micha said. Okay, so that's just something to know about this. It's not exactly Uriah who said this, but they're assuming Uriah said it. Ktiv lachem biglachem. Okay, b'Uriah ktiv lachem biglachem tzion sadeh techaresh. Okay, because of you, the field will be, right, tzion will be a plowed field, meaning it'll be empty. Okay? So then he says, now that I see that Tzion Sadeh Techaresh and that there's a Shual walking for the Kodesh Kodeshim, I know that the first Nivuah is Mitkayem. And that will convinced me that the second nivuah will happen. Now, some of them, Mefarshim, say, "What do you mean? He didn't believe the nivuah that it was going to happen." So some people say, "Well, it means that this nivuah was
contingent."
No, this nivuah happened in such a powerful way, right, to the extreme. Then I know the other one's going to happen also to the extreme. In other words, it's a matter of level. But I have a different way of looking at it. I'll explain in 1 second. Let's finish. Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva nichamtanu. And in that very pleasant way, right, the Masechet ends. But I want to connect all the things that we saw today. I think what's going on here is that the Masechet's ending with an idea about the balance between God and man in terms of halakha, of mishpat. This whole, right, all these masechtot that we've been learning are all about, you know, particularly Sanhedrin and Makot, the rabbis, you know, the Beit Din determining the halacha, who gets killed, who gets malkot, who gets all these things, with the obvious underlying tones all the time of what if they make a mistake, what if something goes wrong, they're only man, they're fallible, all those issues. And with this, everything we read today really is trying to establish that God gives his stamp of approval to what the rabbis did, and that there's one theme, which is that. And the second theme we saw was, you know, Moshe made a gzerah and the rabbis repealed it. The stories with Rabbi Akiva, where it looks one way, but it's just a phase, and that I think it's clearly trying to say here that things can change, that halacha develops and progresses and changes throughout, and that the way things looked in the time of Moshe, and he made all these gzerot, but the Nevi'im came later and they got rid of them. And Rabbi Akiva saw something happening, and he said, well, that's happening now, but things are going to change in the future. If you know, yes, Rabbi Akiva was also the one who was sitting there doing Ketarim on the Torah, and Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting there not understanding anything Rabbi Akiva was doing. He was a person of change. And that the idea is that it's not stable, it's not always the same, it's always different, and it's not always maybe what God intended originally, but God basically gives his stamp of approval to all of this. And that the idea being here, right, the themes are, you know, in order to, and the other theme that came up was how to create a righteous court, right, that it's only going to work if the court is working in the proper way, right? Obviously, part of the issue we have today in Israel is that the chief rabbis are corrupt, and and there's a lot in the system that's corrupt. And then, of course, it's not going to be reflective of God and of the goals that we have. So in order to keep the goals going that way, you know, in order to keep it, that God is going to keep his stamp of approval as the way things are changing, well, things have to be also done with, you know, Mishpat and Tzedek and Emet and all of those themes pervading throughout, which is why that was obviously the focus, because that was the theme of the Masechet. And even, I was thinking, we had a few days ago that issue of the whole Why Makot specifically is it ending? Because, well, first of all, it's the end of Sanhedrin Makot, but also we talked about the whole Malkot is 39 instead of 40. And we have that sugya which talked about how great the Talmidei Chachamim are, right? How strong they are that they can uproot something that it says in the Torah. And I think that that's a theme that pervades throughout. And even the fact that they can make a claim, like yesterday, you know, who are you to know this, that Malkot can wipe out Karet. Right? And that there's this amazing power to the courts that's given to them. Again, obviously with, you know, be careful how you do it and make sure not to take bribes or anything else, because that will mess up this whole system and the whole way it's built, that this can really, you know, will be the continuation of what God really wanted. So, on that.
So there's a big parallel between Malchut wiping out Karet and the last Rabbi Akiva story. You say, look, there's a punishment now, but the Nechama is that we're not being punished, but ultimately, in the future vision,
yes,
it's going to be,
yeah,
that's going to be the...
Right, so that the idea is that the punishment wipes out, it's the same exact theme as in the Mishnah of Rabbi Hanan ben Gamliel, which is that the punishment wipes out the sin, and then eventually there will be the redemption.
And if you're punished in this world,
then you will,
you'll have your
it in Olam Haba. That
also
right? This is for this world, right. Kind of.
And
but
Rabbi Akiva said that if the Romans are doing so well now,
right, the first ayafet. So you're saying the first story almost maybe is talking about what we'll get in Olam Haba, possibly.
If the Romans are doing well now, it means they're not going to get it later.
And we'll get it later.
Now,
right. He didn't exactly relate to Olam Haba, but maybe. It's possible that the first story, right? The question is, what's the difference between the two stories? You can try to analyze that. What's similar? What's different? Where does that get us? Okay. Hadron alaf mesechem akov v'hadro chalan. Datan alaf mesechem akov v'data chalan. Lo nit nashem minach mesechem akov v'lo tit nashem minan. Lo ba'alma hadem v'lo ba'alma da'ate. Hadron alaf mesechem akov v'hadro chalan. Datan alaf mesechem akov v'data chalan. Lo nit nashem minach mesechem akov v'lo tit nashem minan. Lo ba'alma hadem v'lo ba'alma da'ate. Harev na Adonai Eloheinu et divrei Torahcha b'finu ufipiyot amcha be'Yisrael v'nei kulanu anachnu tzatzeinu v'tzatzei amcha be'Yisrael kulanu yodei shemecha v'lamdei Torahcha me'avai tachmeinu mitzvotecha ki l'olam hili hili b'tamim b'chukecha l'man lo'evosh l'olam lo'ashkach p'kudecha kibam chiyitani baruch ata Adonai l'mdeni chukecha amen 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 sela v'ed. יהי רצון פניך אדוני אלוהי, כשם שעזרתן לסיים מסכת מכות, כן תעזרני להתחיל מסכתות וספרים אחרים ולסיימם, ללמוד וללמד, לשמור ולעשות, ולקיים את כל דברי תלמוד תורתך באהבה. זכות כל התנאים והמוראים ותלמידי חכמים יעמוד לי ולזרעי, שלא ימוש התורה מפי ומפי זרעי, וזרע זרעי עד עולם, ותתקיים בי בתעליך, תנחה אותך, שוכחה תשמור עליך, הקצות יהי תשיחך. Kibur yibur yamecha v'yosif v'chash nukhaim orach imim b'imila v'smala osher v'kavod Adonai oz l'mo yitain Adonai yivarech et amo b'shalom.